Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show. Episode 170, to be exact, where it's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thanks for downloading and listening. Well, I'm back sooner than I thought. You know, I said I was going to take a little bit of a break, but so many people have been emailing me, thank you, and putting posts on the forum asking me to not quite take so long of a break. So I've got an announcement on this show, but I also have a topic that I want to cover. I have an idea for the show going forward, and this idea was not mine. Actually, a couple of listeners have emailed me and put some stuff on the forum about where to take this show. As you know, in the last episode, in episode 169, I said I wanted to take some time off and just kind of figure out where to go with this show and what to do with it. So I think I have an idea that's going to work. I'm kind of a perfectionist, I guess, and I try to always make sure that it's 100% every time I do one of these podcasts. Maybe I don't always have to do that each time, huh? What do you think? I don't know. Anyway, if you're relatively new listening to my show, thank you. And by the way, thanks to all of the new international listeners. I received some communication from some people outside the country, one of them from New Zealand and another one from Brazil, that have just recently tuned in within about the last month or so. Thank you and welcome. This is a practical show because I'm just an everyday guy. I haven't written a bunch of books on survival and preparedness. This is a common sense show. I keep it rooted in common sense. No tin foil hat kind of stuff. That's just not my style. Never been that way and probably never will be that way. I have a relatively positive attitude towards this whole notion of preparedness and survival, which I think is incredibly important, and personal responsibility as well. So thanks for tuning in if you're new or if you're from outside of the USA. This show is being brought to you from my mobile studio in the Alamo City of San Antonio, Texas. I was born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin. Now I live in the great state of Texas, the Alamo City in San Antonio. Okay, well, let's move on here with the topic matter first. Well, no, I take that back. Instead of the topic matter, which is going to spend about 20 minutes or so on the topic matter. May I tell you what? I'm struggling with words today. I don't know why. One of those days. Anyway, my topic is going to be about 20 minutes long. Let's talk about the announcement. Some people have recommended that I get more contribution from listeners, and I think that's a great idea. So I'm going to put a call out to everybody listening to this show. I would like to take the next couple of months to pretty much let you folks run the show. Those of you who listen, I want to let you run it. If you have some ideas on a show, if you want to write something, if you want to write a detailed summary, or if you want to write about a subject that you are knowledgeable about or passionate about, and you don't feel comfortable putting it in an audio format, write to me, bob@todayssurvival.com, and you know, I'll talk about it on the show. You know, I'll read what you wrote on the air. I'll probably throw my comments in there. I always like to do that, throw my comments in. So please do that. If you are talented enough and have the ability to go ahead and record something, by all means. Hey, I'm not looking for the most eloquent speakers in the world. I'm just looking for somebody that knows what they're talking about when it comes to survival or preparedness. If you have a personal experience you'd like to share, that would be terrific. If you have a lot of training or a lot of knowledge in a particular area that you think would apply to personal responsibility and common sense survival and preparedness, by all means, record it and send it to me, and I will put you on the show. And again, I may interject comments here and there, or you know, give my own thoughts on the subject, but hey, I reserve the right to do that. That's my show. But I promise that you will be the star of the show if you do that. And so I'm pretty good about making sure that I keep it to the topic that's been sent to me. So if you want to record something in audio, don't worry about what format it's in. I can make it appropriate in the right format. Normally I convert them to MP3 and then upload them as a podcast for you to download from whatever source that you're using. So send it over to me. Just email it to me at bob@todayssurvival.com, or if you want to use some kind of a file sending program, you can do that too. Just email it to bob@todayssurvival.com. That'd be great. The sooner I can get those, the better. I'd like to have some of you be on Today's Survival show. And let's do that for the next few months and see where it goes. I do have some interviews that I'm going to line up. There's one that I'm thinking about doing next month. The person that I want to talk to is really not going to be available and be able to give me much time until sometime in early February. But I think it's going to be very appropriate, and that'll be a good interview. And again, if some of you want to interview with me, let me know that. We can make our interview a podcast subject. So, since it's the end of the year, and no doubt some of you are going to be making some New Year's resolutions and things like that. Happens every year, doesn't it? We all decide that we're going to do something a little bit differently the next year. It's never too late to get started on building up any kind of survival and preparedness plans that you have. And therefore, it's really never too late to build up your food stores. And I want to talk about food storage because it's just so vitally important. I mean, what besides food and water, what is more important? I thought I would close this year, 2011, by talking about what I think are the two most important subjects that any survivalist needs to perfect, or the two most important things that you need to perfect, and that is your food storage and your water storage. You just simply can never have enough. And we have to eat and we have to drink, and that's pretty much the way it is. There's all kinds of other things that we can store up, but those are all secondary in nature, in my opinion, to food storage and water storage. So it's never too late to build up your food stocks. That's pretty much the subject matter that I want to cover. There's a great article that I found that I will put a link to. I like to put all the links now on Today's Survival Show Forum. So let me take this opportunity to invite you to join our forum. If you're not a member of Today's Survival Show Forum, please go to todayssurvival.com, click the forum button, and it'll take you right to the sign-up page to get registered. Do me a favor. Please email me and let me know that you registered for the forum. Email me at bob@todayssurvival.com. It's the best way I can think of right now to keep all the ridiculous spammers out. That way I will know that it's you and you're a real person. Tell me what username you used. Email me, bob@todayssurvival.com, and say, hey, I just signed up for the forum. Would you approve my account as quick as possible? And I will do that. So let's address a situation where you're basically hunkered down in your home. Or maybe you've reached your bug-out location, which is a foundational element of any emergency preparedness plan. Okay? Now, your neighbor has a 4-year stock. And he's pretty well stocked up. He or she is pretty well stocked up on food, but maybe you're not. And you might be thinking, ah, gosh, it's just I'm way behind the eight ball here. It's never too late to start. Again, it's never too late to start. If you're making New Year's resolutions, get going with them and get going with them as soon as possible. It's never too late to get started preparing. Folks, you never know what's going to happen. Okay? Again, I don't like to take the tinfoil hat approach. I don't like to, think that the world's going to be ending, next week or next year or tomorrow or whatever. Who knows? Who knows? But it's never too late because whatever you can prepare, whatever you can put away, whatever you can stock up on now is going to help you at some point. It's going to make your life better either now or later on in the future if something bad does happen. It helps mitigate some of the damage. Now, a few things. If stocking up on food is something you need to improve on, and I'm imagining that probably everybody listening to this probably needs to improve their food stores a little bit. I know that I do. So I'm doing this program, folks, this show right here, just as much for my benefit as I am doing it for your benefit. A few things for you to keep in mind. First, make sure your selections are shelf stable. Whatever you store, make sure that it's shelf stable. And that kind of might sound a little obvious to you, but you'd be amazed how many people store food and don't think about that. This is one of the reasons why I like canned and dried foods, especially canned foods. Now, you have to think about something. If there is some kind of a power outage, your freezer is only going to keep your food for maybe 2 or 3 days, and that's about it. So don't turn your nose up at processed foods. Now, some people might cringe and go, oh, man, Bob, you said processed foods. Yuck. Well, hey, there is a place for some processed foods. I mean, a little bit. There's a place here and there. If you can get good freeze-dried foods, if you can get good quality ones and you can afford it, or you can can your own, that's great. That's wonderful. The great thing about processed foods is they do tend to store longer. And it might not be as healthy and nutritional for you, but hey, it's better than starving, right? It's better than having nothing. The key with any kind of food storage, and many podcasters have said this, and this has been on countless forums over and over and over again, store the kind of food that you want to eat. Store what you like to eat. Emotions and pleasure are very important after a disaster happens. If the stink hits the fan, you're going to be bummed out, folks. Trust me on that. You're going to be emotionally distraught. If you have food that you like to eat, it's going to help you psychologically. That's one of the biggest reasons. And also, if you need to dig into your food stores and start using them now, let's say the stink hits the fan and you lose your job when you least expect it, some big medical bill hits you, and all of a sudden now you have to put out a lot of money, and you're not working or you're not making the kind of money you used to, hey, those food stores can come in handy when you're short on grocery money. Think about that as well. Another reason why you want to stock things you like to eat. And I might say, I might add to that, that variety is very important. Also, don't shun convenience. Now, especially for short-term food storage, like 3 days to 2 weeks. You know, I break my food storage down into long-term and short-term food storage. Long-term and short-term food stores. Short-term being, you know, 3 days to a couple of weeks. It'll take a huge burden off your shoulders if all you have to do is just open up a can and heat it up, and it's something that's decent to eat. So think about that. The other thing about food storage, and I ran into this problem when I first started putting food stores away. Don't make food storage too complicated. Man, I've seen people's pantries that are, I mean, you know, it takes an engineer to figure out how did they make that? How did they build it? And how did they get all that stuff in there? And how did they get all that food together? I'm a big believer in simplicity. I don't know about you. Are you? I mean, are you like me and you like simplicity? Don't make it too complicated, because here's the problem. When things are real complicated, people tend to quit doing them. And that's what I don't want to see you do, is I don't want to see you quit doing what it is that you should be doing, and that is food storage. Now, you can do things like calculate precise calorie and nutritional requirements and things like that. But if uncertainty is stopping you from getting something in the cupboard, putting something away, then just simplify. Just pick some of the most basic stuff, and this is, again, this is why I like canned food, and I like some processed foods, and if you can trade or barter with somebody that is pretty good at canning or freeze-drying, do that. But make it as simple as possible. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, you need to have a year's worth of food put away, and I'm a big believer in that. I'm getting close, ever so closer to having a year, but I'm not there. A few things that I found in this article that I will be linking to in the forum, by the way, for episode number 170. A few things to think about as you're slowly, gradually building up your food supply. During week one, while you're turning over a new leaf and increasing your food storage, if that's what you're doing. During week one, build up a 3-day supply. During week two, build up a 1-month supply. And then the next 5 months after those first 2 weeks, work on building up your 1-year supply. I think that's a pretty good gradual way to do it, don't you? The first week, you just concentrate on getting 72 hours worth of food put away. The second week, You concentrate on getting 30 days put away. The next 4 to 5 months, you build up your 1 year supply. Now, let's talk about the first week. We'll kind of break it down. Your 3-day supply. Most power outages are real short. Usually a 3-day supply of canned food will get you through most thunderstorm or tornado-induced blackouts, stuff like that. Check your pantry, see what you've already got. Okay, you might already have that supply, and you can skip week one. If not, you can make a trip to the grocery store, and in 20 minutes, you can have a 3-day supply worth of food. You would be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, how many people don't even have 3 to 4 days worth of food stored. It's just mind-blowing how many do not. Okay, here's a suggested 3-day list. I've talked about some of this before, but again, this stuff always bears repeating. A can opener, a manual can opener. How about like an 8-ounce serving of trail mix and a box or two of crackers and a couple jars of peanut butter and some canned juice. I also like canned peaches. I like canned fruit cocktails. Beans and corn, that pretty much goes without saying. You know, beef stew and chili, tomato soup, stuff like that. If you like raisins, I got family members who love raisins and dried prunes. They keep well. I don't like them, but I have other family members who do. And mixed nuts. Mixed nuts, man, you'd be amazed what you can do, how long you can go on mixed nuts. And, you know, they taste good. A lot of people seem to enjoy them. If you have a certain type of a nut that you like, and or maybe there's 2 or 3 that you like, and put those away, then get a couple cans of those. And don't forget about tea and coffee. Man, you know, I was talking about how food storage can improve your mood after a disaster. I mean, I know it keeps you alive, but it can also improve your mood. Coffee really improves my mood, folks. It really does, especially first thing in the morning. And have a couple of gallons of water, at least. You know, probably 3 or 4 gallons. There you go. You got enough to survive on for 72 hours. Now, in the second week, let's talk about building up your 1 month supply of food. Now, there's way too many differences from one house to the next, from one family to the next. There's way too many differences for me to sit on this podcast and talk about and give you ideas as to how to store up food. I don't know what your family situation and your likes and dislikes are. I'm going to give you some suggestions here and then let you run with some of the things that I throw out there. But the first thing is just calculate how much food you need to prepare a meal for your entire family. So how much food do you need to make one meal for your entire family? Then multiply that by 3 to cover 3 meals a day. Then add about an extra 20% to cover errors and spoilage and things like that. Remember, it's possible to get extremely precise about how many calories and what kind of food you need. And if you want to do that, by all means do that. But if you don't go to all this trouble, you still need something to eat. Things like pasta, spaghetti, macaroni, stuff like that. You need to have decent carbs, folks. Everybody likes it. You know, I know it's not real huge on vitamins, but, you know, canned fruit and canned vegetables have a little bit of vitamins. If you can can them yourself, then they're very nutritious. Freeze-dried foods and vegetables, if you can purchase or make some of those as well, that's even more nutritious. So, you know, think about that kind of stuff for nutrition. But pasta, spaghetti, macaroni, stuff like that, it's good filler. Make sure you've got a decent supply of that. Now, I'll tell you something that I've been working on a lot is canned fish. I love salmon, and I love sardines and tuna and herring and stuff like that. I like that. I don't know if you do. I do. So I've been stocking up on canned meats, especially canned fish. I happen to think that sardines and tuna and herring and mackerel and salmon and stuff like that, it makes good survival food type stuff. You know what I mean? It's rich in omega-3 fatty acids. You get good protein from them. They typically taste pretty good. You can probably find some kind of a canned fish or canned meat that you like Stock up on some of those. And the beautiful thing is they're not very expensive. Then there's dried beans and rice. Now, I know there's a lot of Y2K jokes about dried beans and rice and some of that. You know, maybe, who knows? Do you still have some of that left over from Y2K? Hope not. But if you store them right, they will keep literally for decades, folks. You know, the interesting thing about beans and rice is together they make a complete protein. Rice has some of the amino acids that make up protein, and beans have the rest of them. So rice and beans together, you can get some pretty decent, I mean, not the best, but you can get some pretty decent nutrition. I have a variety. I've got black beans, I've got pinto beans, I have lima beans. I happen to love pinto and lima beans. Navy beans. I don't really like kidney beans too much, but a lot of people store those. And when it comes to vegetables, I like tomatoes and tomatoes, corn, green beans, and I like to canned carrots. So those might be some suggestions for you. I also like peaches, pears, and my son loves applesauce, and my wife loves the fruit cocktails. So those are the canned vegetables and fruits and things that I like to put away. And if you think about it, these types of items nearly cover the entire gamut of vitamins and minerals and fiber that you'll need for the long term, for a month. Now, you also might want to think of some specialty canned items, like blueberries and pumpkin pie filling and hearts of palm and capers and olives and stuff like that. Whatever suits your fancy, whatever you like. Don't forget about storing some of the staples as well. Now, I've talked to people about food storage before, and I've asked them, what do you have? And sometimes when I'm at their house, they show me. And it's amazing how many people don't have some of the basic staples like olive oil, flour, and sugar, and salt. They forget those things. They have plenty of good stuff to eat, but not a lot of good stuff to cook with. Go to Sam's Club or Costco, buy the staples in bulk, the olive oil, the vegetable oil, the flour, sugar. I like natural sugar, real sugar. I don't like to stock up on Splenda or Sweet and Low or any of that crap. I happen to like the all-natural stuff. And that seems to work out pretty well. And all this stuff is not too hard to store. If you work on that and you've got your quantities figured out, you'll get to your one-month supply. Now, month 2 through 6, which is what you're going to work on building up your year-long supply of food. If you have a freezer, if you have extra freezer space, this is great, but then you better make sure that you've got a generator to keep your freezer going if you have a long-term power outage. Now, is the power going to be out for a year? Well, let's hope not. Now, I mean, could the world situation digress that badly to where we don't have access to power for a year? Gosh, I hope not. You know, my thinking is the purpose of a one-year food storage is in case there's some other type of a disaster, like you lose your job. Or the just-in-time inventory that shows up in grocery stores is unavailable for a long period of time. For some reason, all of a sudden, the stink hits the fan really bad, and grocery stores have very slim pickings for a really long time. The most important thing, I think, is the peace of mind. And don't forget about the financial aspects of putting away a year's worth of food. You do it at today's prices. You do it at prices now. Food prices are going up, folks. They're going up all over the place, and that's a huge crisis for a lot of people. Do it at today's prices and put away a year's worth of food. So now you got a one-month supply. Buy another two-month supply for each of the next 4 months. So take an inventory. Once you got your 30-day supply of food built, take an inventory of what that is and multiply it by 2. And do that for 4 consecutive months, and then multiply it by 3 and do that the last month. And that'll pretty much get you to your one-year supply. When all is said and done, you're going to have everything you need to keep your family fed for a year. Now, that seems a bit simplistic, and I kind of went through that fast. But again, it's hard for me to get detailed. You know, I once got an email from somebody and they said, what do you suggest I store for food? And I really appreciate the question, but there is simply no way that I can tell somebody else how to store food for themselves, because I don't know what they like to eat. I don't know what kind of health concerns they have. You know, I mean, for me, I have celiac disease, so I have to try to store a lot of gluten-free foods as well. Other family members that I have in my house don't have that, so I can store normal foods for them. Everybody has a different situation. But I guess what I'm trying to say is try to simplify it as much as possible. If you have the ability to get more elaborate with your food storage, then wonderful. On our forum, a lot of people have discussed a lot about elaborate food storage, and I think it's pretty neat. But it's never too late. That's the main thing. That's the main thrust of this podcast and the main subject matter. It's never too late to get started. And because New Year's is right around the corner, it's never too late to get started and to start changing your life in 2012. 2011 is gone. Change your life in 2012. So, there you go. There's the 170th episode of today's survival show. I guess I couldn't stay away as long as I thought I could. And I really appreciate all the excellent comments that I've been getting from those of you that said, hey, Bob, you know, here's some ideas. Keep the show going. We like what you're doing. I appreciate that. You know, folks, I don't know it all. I don't profess to know it all. It's, you know, one listener said, hey, you're kind of like listening to my neighbor talk about preparedness. Well, I take that as a compliment. And I don't profess to know it all, which is why I haven't written a whole ton of books and stuff like that. But this is my personal experience that you hear about on this show. I share with you kind of the journey that I'm going through in getting myself prepared. And hopefully it makes sense to you and you can benefit from it. So again, I'd like to hear you send me some audio subject matter, some audio podcasts. If you want to put together something, you know, put together something that's at least about 10 minutes and no more than about 30 minutes or so in length. That would be great. And if it's going to be longer than 30 minutes, maybe break it into two parts for me, and I'll make a couple of different shows out of it. Or if you want to interview, let me know. Or if you just want to write something to me and have me talk about it on the air, I would love that. Let's kind of make this a more of a listener audience supported show to where it's just not me all the time. That's kind of where I'm going. So, Happy New Year, folks. It's great to be looking forward to 2012. I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show. Helping you do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. I'll catch you next time.